You're listening to The Mumcast, the best weekly comic book podcast recorded in Southampton, England on Thursday nights. We talk about this week's comics, and in this week's spotlight, I talk about Rust, Visitor in the Field. Around the mic tonight are...
Hi, I'm James.
Hello, I'm Nick.
Hello, I'm Jane.
Hello, Jane and James. How are you today? Are you good?
I'm very well, Nick and Jane. Thank you. How are you?
Haven't you got a bright red face?
Is it heart attacky again, is it?
No, it's just like, like the cold has got into it somehow.
Yeah,
hypothermic.
I've been indoors all day, so I don't know how that could be. That's worrying.
Jane, your face is the right colour.
Good.
It's okay. Not remotely heart attacky or hypothermia.
Oh, that's good.
Which is good.
It's like an alabaster sleeve.
Yeah. Yes. Sleeve.
What?
Yeah.
Alabaster's like marble, is it?
Yeah.
And sleeve is...
Actually, I was thinking more of the comic book. I meant wrinkly.
Oh, okay.
And bagged and boarded.
Thanks.
That's all right.
Jane, what have you been up to this week?
I have.
I'm all business, have you noticed?
Yeah.
I'm trying to make us more professional.
It's almost like you've got a Chinese meal waiting for you after this.
Yes.
I have been playing lots of Red Dead Redemption, because for some reason I have to complete every game I started before Tomb Raider Anniversary, because it's not fair that I've got further in that game than any other game, so...
No, as I can see, the games would be very upset about
they
that.
They would be. So Red Dead Redemption, which I'm only at 47.9% complete, so I've got a way to go.
Way to go.
Thank
Woo!
You.
Woo!
Thank you. I do like that game.
You can do it.
I like the whole, I'm not going to play a mission because I need to leave soon, so I'll just amble about and then save the game. Oh no, I've stumbled across a side mission. Oh, I have to get to the other side of the map to do it. Oh, I've died 6 times, but I still need to do this mission. Loop.
I just got a text message.
Did you?
Yes, 2010, they want their game review back. Probably Red Dead Redemption came out, didn't, did it?
And I watched the second half of Avengers Assemble as I watched the first part last week. And so that was good too.
And we found out a film that we can never watch together.
Yeah, The Railway Children.
Because Jenny Agutty is one of the people who are shit at conf calls. We were talking about this while we were watching Avengers Assemble, right? The dudes that Nick Fury talks to, the conf call, you can see their faces. So why are they in the fucking dark?
Well, because...
Turn the light on, you twat.
No, because... Look, right, okay.
No, I'm shadowy, so...
They're shadowy, because in most cases... Yeah. I don't know why we're shouting, I don't know why we're so angry.
Because I'm angry.
In most cases... That would work to anonymise someone sufficiently. What they don't understand is that in the world of the people who are watching the film, those people look like Jenny Agutter and the guy off Deadwood and a bunch of other people.
Don't say her name.
Eh?
Sets us off.
Yeah.
But, why?
Because of the Railway Children.
Oh, okay.
Daddy, right, daddy.
No, don't do it.
Her name makes me weep as well, but that's because of Logan's Run and American Wolf in London.
See, Jane.
I mean,
and
not I out of my eyes, admittedly.
Jane and I are more sensitive and whimsical creatures. Yeah.
Is that what's going on here?
I think that's the only time I'm going to be sensitive and whimsical.
But yeah, so it works perfectly to anonymise. It's just that they're recognisable actors. If they weren't, you'd be like, well, that's someone with a rectangular head.
No, but Nick Fury can know who that... Who are they
we didn't
disguising
even know
themselves
Jenny,
from?
We didn't know it was Jenny Agutter until the end and we saw it in the credits. So I went, she must have been one of the shadowy people, because I couldn't...
Yeah. I thought it was What's-Her-Face. I thought it was Leslie Judd from Blue Peter.
Yeah.
For a while.
Are you saying you watched it in two goes?
Yes.
Why didn't you watch it?
Because we couldn't finish watching it last week, so we finished watching it this week.
So we
Why
did,
couldn't
we
you?
Did, we did The Dictator and the final part of The Avengers this week.
Why didn't you watch it all at once?
Because we ran out of time.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. And The Dictator is the Charlie Chaplin film?
No. We the...
Sacha Baron Cohen.
Sacha Baron Cohen. Okay. Yeah. I should have really guessed that, shouldn't I? You guys watch films in a really different way from me. I don't think I could start watching a film if there was a possibility I wasn't going to finish it.
Oh, well.
It's distracting to me. Do you watch... James, do you watch films in the wrong aspect ratio as well? Because that's another one of my things.
I didn't do until I knew that it really bugged you, and I've started doing so since. No, I don't.
More fooled you.
No, I like a letterbox.
Okay.
James, did you finish?
James, what have you been doing this week?
I watched Avengers Assemble with Jane.
Okay, it's fascinating.
And The Dictator. And I kept you guys waiting for the second week in a row because Scarlett's poorly again with the stupidest sounding disease in the world. She's got the mumps. And I reactivated my Facebook account. That's about it, really.
Why?
Then I was interested. I was interested. So there's lots of pictures on there of me and my tongue and me with eyes like piss holes in the snow.
I'm glad that you are on Facebook now, because it doesn't seem fair that I be the only mom person on there. Now you can get engaged.
You can follow me, though. It's my real name. So it's James Gilly. You've got to find me on
Facebook. So you're just finding people on the show knowing your name.
GILLIE.
Yes, he's on the Facebook now.
On the Facebook. Well, I can't change it to James Momb now, can I? So
no, that'd be stupid.
I've had an account since 2007.
James Momb married to, and then your wife's name. Yeah, your surname.
Yeah, I've used it more in the last week than I have since 2007 when I first set up the account. My wife accidentally reactivated my account by logging in as me and having a look at my account.
She accidentally did that.
Yeah, trying to reactivate hers, and she thought putting my email address in and the password she suspected I would use.
Is that what she's told you?
Well, I sat next to her when she was doing it.
Have you given her any reason to suspect you might be having an affair?
Well, only the fact that I've got apparently a lovely tongue, and I'm, you know, a hunk of burning love, so she'll probably have these natural suspicions.
Yeah, so that's why she's going. She's accidentally logging onto your Facebook. Yeah.
I think I'd be more discreet than to do it on Facebook if I was having an affair.
I don't know.
It's quite a public space, isn't it?
I think probably Facebook has paid to more marriages than Twitter has.
Really?
Yeah.
I'd probably just stick to Grindr.
I don't know what that is. Okay. Is it spelt with no E?
That's right.
Grindr. Mm. Yeah, because it's in an internet place.
Yeah.
Yeah, I see.
That's how I do it. I don't know if I did anything good at the weekend.
It's okay, you've used up all your time now, so it's on to
me. We've got to do at least 20 minutes.
No, Nick, what have you been doing this week?
I have been listening to... Excuse me, I'm feeling a bit bilious.
That's your time you're using up.
Yeah.
That's okay, I'm not going to talk as much as you did.
Fucking hell.
I have been catching up on some podcasts.
Those things.
Podcasts.
Not speaking as effectively as me, I think you mean.
Podcasts are they're a series of audio episodes that are being put out by Pob. Yeah, who was Channel 4 children's TV presenter, who was made of puppet. I've been...
What happened to him, eh?
I don't know, drugs. I think he hit the drugs like all of the other T4 people. Zig and Zag fell on very hard times until they came back and started presenting I'm a Celebrity, Get Me Out
of Here. What about that Cruella de Vil?
You can always tell that Zig is the one on the left, Zag is the one on the right.
Like out in the deck. What about Cruella de Vil?
Oh, you got that. That's what I was referring to, did you? Cruella de Vil?
Yeah.
Do you mean Davina McCall?
No. No, the really cross-looking person who did Lonely Planet.
I don't know who that is.
All right, fair enough. She always had dark glasses on. Very bright red
lipstick. Magenta Divine?
That's it, yeah.
I don't know. I think that's a made-up person.
No, I think it's real.
I've listened to some podcasts, so I caught up on Small Press, Big Mouth. I wanted to say Small Mouth, Big Press, and that's not right.
Good podcast.
It is a good podcast. James was referring to...
Not enough waffle at the beginning.
about Waffle. I also listened to Stacey's Pop Parlor. She had a birthday episode. I caught up on her
podcast.
Birthday episode. Yeah, it was good. It had Eddie Dainton. She interviewed Eddie Dainton,
ooh,
Paul Cornell, Andy Ewington. But my favourite of the interviews, because I'd never heard him interviewed, was Lee Gallagher. I've only really talked to Lee Gallagher in person a tiny little bit when he forgot my name. So it was quite interesting hearing him chatting to someone else.
We don't have people on, do we, anymore?
No, well, it's quite difficult with the Skype.
And our inability to organise a piss up, yeah, in the brewery, yeah.
But so that was good. It was nice listening to them. It made me feel... But I felt it was quite difficult listening to Lee and Stacey having a conversation. I kept having to have a little rest. And,
do you feel
and
jealous?
Regain myself.
I want Lee. Lee should... I want Lee on us.
You do, do you?
Not on our podcast. I just want Lee on us.
That's okay. We could do it's that. Okay. I'm sure Lee wouldn't mind.
We should ask people to start thinking about what we should do for our 200th, shouldn't we?
When's that?
Well, this is 181.
So...
in less than 19 weeks.
Yes, less than 19 weeks.
Yeah, well, by the time you listen to
us. Oh, no, that's true, in less than 19 weeks. Oh, gosh, that's a lot of time, though. We don't need...
No, that's not enough time for us. It's a lot of time for normal, functional human beings.
19 weeks. I will have a baby by then.
Wow.
And when's Thought Bubble? That must be like nearly 19 weeks.
The first Momcast baby.
If you have 19 weeks, then it'll be nearly my birthday as well.
When's that?
July.
The first Momcast birthday.
Isn't your baby due in July?
Yeah, but that's not 19 weeks away, is it? It's about...
You just said I'll have a baby by then.
Yeah, it will have been... I will have had it for a while. Yeah. By then.
Oh, right, I thought
you just zeroed in on something that was close to your birthday.
No, I thought your baby was June, July.
It is.
I hope it's the 5th.
I can't remember. I've been moving this room around. There's been lots of... this room's going to be a nursery, so I've been moving shelves and stuff. I've been working quite hard.
Not like JK and that Jamiroquai video.
Which one?
Where he's moving the room around.
Oh, where he keeps stepping on the ceiling and stuff like that, which he stole from Billy Ocean.
I'd like... Yeah. He wanted to see what a feeling it was.
Yeah.
Because Billy Ocean doesn't really explain in any great detail.
He doesn't go into any detail.
He's what just, a feeling?
There's stuff about it being a party.
Yeah.
He doesn't really explain, though, would the people who walk in to the party, say you went to the toilet, you went out of the party, then you walk back in at the point when everyone's dancing on the ceiling, would you just like fall up to the ceiling when you walk through the door?
Where would your piss go?
Well, that's another good question.
Yeah. If gravity's unpredictable at a party, vomiting and pissing, which happens a lot at parties, it's going to really put a dampener on it. Maybe the feeling he's feeling dancing on the ceiling is the feeling of people's vomit and piss.
Well, is the idea that gravity's changed, or is because the blood would all be going to his chin, head,
nose.
Nose.
And
nose.
It would all be going up because he'd be upright and his hair would all be up like this. Like I'm showing Jane and James what happens when your hair goes up.
Just tip your head upside down, Nick.
And his clothes. His jacket would go over, his keys would fall out his pocket.
It was the 80s, so everyone was in quite loose clothes. They're like shoulder pads would be up around their ear.
Just some poor bastard walking around with Billy Ocean's keys stuck in her head.
Yeah.
They'd be sick in their tops then, wouldn't they?
Yes.
That would solve the issue of them vomiting everywhere. Just be honest.
Just sick in their own tops.
Next week, jokes about Bananarama and the Funboy 3.
This is a comics podcast. When we're not talking, about unreliable gravity piss, we do talk about comics. We'll get onto that in just a second. You can talk to us about comics by emailing us at
momcast@gmail.com.
You can listen to our old episodes on the website. The website is
momcomics.com.
And you can go and listen to all of the episodes there. You can also subscribe to the old episodes. Well, not subscribe to the old episodes. Strictly speaking, you'd be subscribing to the new episodes, wouldn't you?
Yeah, strictly speaking.
Yeah, in iTunes or Pocket Cast or any of your podcatchers.
But in
of
iTunes,
choice.
You could just click get on the old episodes and it will get them for you.
Yeah, that's the thing
that you can do in
iTunes.
That's what that does.
If you do that, or if you want to comment on a particular episode, leave a comment either on iTunes or on your podcatcher or on our site. It's apparently really good if you do it on the iTunes. But if you just leave us a comment on the site, that's also quite nice.
We really like that.
Yes. I think if you refer to us on Facebook, if you go to the site, you can even leave a comment on Facebook or Twitter and it will still show that it's on the site. It's all very clever. Yeah. I don't really understand the internet, which is bad because I'm the one who sets up the site. You can also talk to us on Twitter about comics or any old piffle. You can talk to Jane at...
Jane Mom.
You can talk to James at...
James Mom.
And you can... Did you say it like
I'm
that?
I'm not a good follow. I talk about piss and shit more than I should.
And your penis.
I don't think anyone who listens to this show and then at the end of this show decides to follow you is really going to have any illusions about what they're going to be getting. You can also talk to me on Twitter. You see, this is typical James behaviour. He was trying to suggest that you shouldn't pay attention to him. And ended up dragging all of the attention towards him.
I'm an only child.
Yeah, I know. You can also talk to me on Twitter at NixSight. That's N-I-X-S-I-G-H-T. You can talk to John Mom, but that's John No H. He's on Twitter sometimes. You can talk to other people. There are other people there. You can talk to Stephen Fry on Twitter if you want. I don't know that that would be as satisfying as talking to one of us, though. You can also... follow us on Facebook and Google Plus, and that you can find the links to those at the top right hand side of the website. I'm blocking your face when I do that, aren't I, James? I'm
not all
showing
of it.
The mic, the top right hand thing. Shall we talk about this week's comics?
Yeah, let's see if we could do that.
Who's going to go first?
James.
Hi. First of all, I'm going to talk about issue 9 of DC Comics. Is Batman Incorporated, $2.99, by Grant Morrison, Chris Burnham, and Jason Masters.
I thought Grant Morrison had stopped.
Yeah, I thought so too, but this is obviously going on. I don't know. I really should.
Comic people are such lying bullshit artists.
You know, I really... Well, yeah, but if I just did the most basic of research before I talked about it, I could never really describe myself as anything as an ignorant comic talker. Because I think using the word journalist or reviewer would insult anyone who does even a half-decent job of that. Batman Incorporated, as you can imagine, pretty depressing after Damian Wayne was killed in the last issue. Really heavy, heavy issue. It's been such a... Batman Incorporated's been quite light and enjoyable, and oh god, it's heavy as hell. I mean, it's great, it's written beautifully, Chris Burnham's art is absolutely fantastic, and really sets a tone. There's some heartbreaking moments in it, but this is all about a man who is mourning the loss of his recently killed son. It's heavy, man.
Is it still depressing when your son was an arrogant asshole, though? I suppose it is.
Well, I think if you loved him, yes, it probably is. No, Bruce Wayne just turns up at his funeral and goes, he's an arrogant little fuck, when he should we go off
and have a drink
and beat up the Joker.
I guess that's easy for me to say because I'm not a parent.
That's true. You wait, you'll find out.
Yeah, I'll find that out soon. Just for the listener, James did roll his eyes there because I actually trapped him into saying that. He's not normally like that.
You wouldn't understand.
Because you're not a parent.
Yeah, there's things you just don't understand.
Your first book, James, your second book.
Second book is FF, issue number 5, Matt Fraction, Michael Allred, and Laura Allred. And it's... this has changed tone, hasn't it? A much darker, more sinister edge to this book, I think.
Yeah.
This month.
It's very weird, though. Matt Fraction really writes very specifically for Mike Allred in that this comic is just all over the damn place.
Yes.
It's weird, isn't it?
Yes, go on. It is weird. And two of the main characters are acting very strangely. Medusa feel very strange. She's acting very strangely throughout the story, as is very old Johnny Storm, who dropped through a portal some issues ago, claiming the Fantastic Four were dead. Basically, the main story in this issue is the FF team have to take down Johnny Storm, who goes a bit batshit crazy.
He does do. He does.
He flames on and tries to set fire to all of New York.
He's only got one eye, it's a bit confusing.
It's a bit unpleasant as well. She-Hulk gives him a very pleasing sock around the jaws, though.
Yeah. There's a couple of... there's a bit where he's in a club and the music's going, which I quite liked. He's not in a club. It's like a weird shop.
No, but it's a hipster shop, isn't it?
Is it just very specifically hipster? Well, it's weird because at one point it looks like he's just drifting through it, but then he's outside.
I think he thinks it's a hotel.
Oh, do you think?
Yes.
It is a little bit...
He's very confused.
And the Inhumans are in it, so you've got the I can't remember, Lockjaw, that's his name.
The dog.
Yep. There's a peculiar member of the press.
And he's been in it, I think, every issue, hasn't he, with his old-timey camera.
He's very much a Mike Allred type of thing. Mm. It's good, it's gorgeous looking, but it is quite delirious.
It's potty, isn't it?
Yeah.
But and sinister and awesome, and has a sort of ooh moment in it as well.
Yeah, and oddly obsessed with it's been obsessed with Doctor Doom.
Yeah,
in a way that is peculiar.
It's an addictive book.
Yeah,
I next read issue 10 of The Massive by Brian Wood, Gary Erskine on art, Jordi Belair on colours. This one too had a very strange tone about it.
It's very depressing.
It's extremely depressing. Very, very still. It felt becalmed.
We've had a really hectic couple of... The last arc on this was quite crazy hectic. Yeah. It was on the oil rig island, wasn't it?
That's right.
And it was all action. And this one's very much about the inner tensions and stresses. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Actually on the capital.
Which I find slightly strange, and there's almost like a mini mutiny that happens in the story, and we find out about tensions that are breaking out, hostility that's breaking out around the world post this apocalyptic crash that they've had. But actually it turns out there's a lot more crew on the capital than I thought
there
were.
Yeah, it's confusing. It is a little bit confusing.
I thought there's maybe a dozen or so of them, but it turns out there's dozens of them.
Yeah.
And also the massive... they think they found it. It keeps just irritatingly appearing on the edge of their radar, but not within sight. So that journey goes on. And we also find out a little bit more about the condition that's affecting Callum. Callum, isn't it?
Callum Israel.
That's it.
There's also... the whole way through this, we've been finding out a little bit more about the world outside the world, what's going on in the whole world, and we're hearing about all sorts of conflicts that are going on. But this was weird because this is the first part of a three-part story, but this feels like a self-contained issue as well. It kind of finishes on a bit of it kind of leaps forward on the very last page without giving too much away about it. You get like an epilogue to the issue, even though it's the first part. My concern with this, and it's really nice. Gary Erskine's art is quite the colour is in keeping with the previous issues, but Gary Erskine's art, although when he draws the ship, it's still got that very clean, technical, realistic look to it. But his people seem a lot more organic than some of the previous artists have done on it, that have worked on it. It's good. The thing I'm a bit concerned about is I don't know how long this is going to be, but it feels like the capital is kind of running out of rope quite a lot. Especially with Callum Ill and stuff like that. I don't know how long this series is intended to run.
It does feel like a very claustrophobic world is closing in on them, but I think it's meant to feel like that. I think, I guess, you know, the world is running out of options, isn't it? It's becoming an increasingly unstable and unpleasant place. There's a lot of exposition about that in this book. But it's written by Brian Wood, never feels... Because there is a hell of a lot of exposition, never feels clunky. Because the lot of info dumping, isn't there? But it's good. I really like it, but it's a really unsettling read this month.
There is no back matter in this issue, which is good, because I thought that I hadn't had a chance to read it, and I like reading the back matter, but it means I haven't missed out on anything. It's just not there.
The next book made me feel the opposite of unsettled. It made me feel very excited in my tummy. Oh, wow, cool. And Nick's got a very cool variant cover of it.
It's got a young cover of it.
It's Guardians of the Galaxy number 1 by Brian Michael Bendis. I haven't read a Brian Michael Bendis book for ages.
I seem to be reading nothing but Brian Michael Bendis.
Stephen Niven, John Dell and Justin Posner are the artistic team. It is $3.99 from Marvel.
Which is a lot of money.
It is a lot of money, but I think it's a lot of comic. It was a really exciting, frenetic space adventure with some nice little bit of exposition and then some nice space battling towards the end, although it did leave me regretting a little bit that I hadn't picked up issue 0.1.
Did you not pick up 0.1?
I didn't. I felt a bit of a mug. I wasn't bothered and then heard really good things about the book itself and then regretted deeply not doing it. But it's an interesting, it's a book of two halves, isn't it? All changes up at the Staples. You have, what's he called, Star-Lord?
Yes.
But you have him...
Rick, John.
Yeah, something like that. You have him basically having a confrontation with his father.
Peter Quill, sorry. Peter Quill. I was looking at the cover gallery in the back,
Which is essentially the scene with him and his father is setting the rules for this story.
Yeah.
And then the second half is basically the team taking down a ship...
Of Badoon,
which is awesome, and with Iron Man wearing some very awesome new armour as well.
It's consistent with his part in his own comic, which I'm not reading at the moment, but yeah, he left to go out in space a couple of issues ago.
But Bendis writes lovely sort of action dialogue, doesn't he? And the Rocket Raccoon character makes me feel so happy in my tummy, I can't possibly explain how much.
It's slightly more confusing as well, because Marvel have never been that good at managing this stuff. I don't mind, because their universe tends to be a little bit more organic. But this confuses things more about the timeline than the previous issue did, because this obviously takes place before the 0.1, which seems to be taking place after this team have sort of pulled together with Iron Man. But Iron Man kind of drops into the middle of the episode, and it seems like they've had a conversation already, but you don't really get...
He did just kind of appear.
Get an editor's note in issue such and such of such and such, so you're not sure when that happened. Also, and I'm only going to touch on this really, really, really briefly, but this is a comic about the galaxy, the Marvel galaxy, but it's also refers to Earth as well, very specifically, which is interesting because they go out to space and then, like, suddenly it's kind of about Earth as well. There's the thing they don't seem to have done is done anything to tie it into Age of Ultron, which I did not have the least bit of a problem with, except that I deliberately didn't buy Superior Spider-Man this week because it was this weird effort to pull. I'd be happy if they just left Age of Ultron as this happens at some point, and don't worry, it'll all sort itself out, or it won't, or whatever, and you don't have to worry about it, because it's a huge... Age of Ultron is kind of a continuity suck. It was supposed to come out 2 years ago, and didn't, so it doesn't really fit with what's going on, and that's fine. It looks pretty epic, and it's cool. But, like, if you're going to force Superior Spider-Man and the latest issue of Fantastic Four to fit with that, but then you're not going to make FF and Guardians of the Galaxy fit with it, that's just confusing, man.
Yeah.
And I'm referring to Marvel as man now, because they're hip.
I've fully opted out of Age of Ultron. The two books that were in my standing, both Fantastic Four and Superior Spider-Man, I refused to. I went, no! And just refused to buy them.
There are loads of covers to Guardians of the Galaxy.
Yeah, and I seem to have got the... I like it. It's very nice.
You've got the one that they've been teasing for the last 6 months or whatever.
But it's a really pleasing, fun comic book.
It's a good comic book. Sorry, I talked about that for longer than you wanted to. Wanted to do another quick fire round of reviews, didn't you?
And only because I think it makes me sound less stupid.
It does not. But that's not true.
You can be the...
you know what I meant.
The final one that I'm going to talk about, Nick and I are going to talk about... is Jonathan Hickman's new cut.
He's just pumping them out right now.
He is pumping them out. Jonathan Hickman, apparently what he does is tell odd alt history sort of semi-sci-fi tales, apparently. That's what he does. Jonathan Hickman, Nick Dragotta, Frank Martin, and let's mention Russ Wooten, who does letters while we're at it, are the creative team. It's issue number one of East of West, published by Image at $3.50. This is an alternate United States where, shortly after the Civil War, during the conflict with the Native Americans, a cataclysmic event has happened that brought people together, that essentially has changed history thereafter. There's lots of weird religious overtones thrown into that as well, with a prophet writing the second book of Revelation and so forth.
Signs importance, man. Signs importance.
Yeah, absolutely. And this is basically the backstory, whereas in the here and now we see a strange character entering a bar in the Wild West that seems to have continued in perpetuity. So the Western period didn't only last about, 30 or 40 years. It's gone on until... Do we know what the present day is?
It says 1960... Is it 2064 or 90...
I'm sure it's 2064.
That would make more sense than what I said.
We're in at this point.
I'll have a look. You carry on talking.
Although it becomes clear who this guy is at the end, but he is an alabaster assassin, it would seem.
And he's got two buddies who are bones, who are nails hard and really cool and weird.
Yeah. Two very strange companions. And we're also introduced to three very brutal and unpleasant children that are appearing... Three very unpleasant and brutal children who appear mysteriously in this strange wasteland at the centre of America at the beginning of the story. We do get to find out who they are. I think it would probably be a spoiler.
Yeah,
2064. No. Yeah, it is. Yeah. It probably isn't a spoiler, actually, because I think I read it in the previews who they were.
But it's worth reading. I mean, I didn't know that, and it is worth reading. What's interesting about it is that the whole alternate history bit, although he does a little bit of a Brian Wood / Jonathan Hickman info dump, that seems to be... There seems to be a very real... divergent point in history. I think there's even a suggestion that the Tunguska thing happens in America instead of in... The Tunguska explosion that happened over Russia happens in America instead. Uh-huh. It's quite interesting, and it seems quite close, but it's three or four pages of... Because I was reading my books in a real rush before we started, and I thought, oh my God, if this book's like this the whole way through, I'm never going to finish it. But there's three or four pages of info dump, but unlike...
Very dense info dump as well.
Unlike Manhattan Project, and actually unlike the Avengers book that he's doing at the moment that I read, the one that I was reading... The info dump is quite... It's in those three or four pages, and then the story really flows after that. It's really smooth. It kind of... It's just literally, this is why this is... This is our world, but it's changed. Yeah. This is how it's changed, and now we're on to the next bit.
On one level, it plays out as a very cool alt history western.
Mm.
But there's lots of mysterious sort of spiritual overtone to the story as well, that gives it a sort of very otherworldly feel as well.
Dragotta's art is amazing.
And I'm biased because I really genuinely love Jonathan Hickman. I think he's the most exciting writer in comics at the moment.
Most of the time I agree as well. Did Nick Dragotta... his motifs are still there though, like the circles and the shapes and the symbology and stuff.
But he sort of digs into all of the sort of things sort of growing up. Sci-fi and occult and that sort of thing I found really intoxicating as a kid. And the both of those are really sort of consistent themes in his story. So his writing is kind of catnip to me, to be honest with you.
Did Nick Dragotta do some issues of Fantastic Four?
I can't remember. FF, I think.
But it just looks amazing as well. It's really good. I like it. I'm not always a huge fan of it. The one thing that I did... I'm not always a huge fan of Jonathan Hickman, but I have really enjoyed a few of his books recently. And there was a point, though, when I was reading this where I was thinking, how the hell does he keep all of the different histories clear in his head? Because he's got two or three different things coming out all at once that have these, altered histories, and they're all different from each other.
His plate spinning is deeply impressive.
I'm going to talk very, very quickly... Are you done talking about that story?
I'm done
James?
Talking about those comics.
It's awesome. I like it.
So you can tell I had a day off today. I read all of the comics I bought, basically.
I'm going to talk very quickly about the last two books I've got. So because we've already mentioned this, Fantastic Four. Fantastic Four number 5 is actually an Age of Ultron crossover. And I had a look at this and Superior Spider-Man in the shop. And I made a judgment call on Superior Spider-Man, which wasn't actually even written by Dan Slott, I don't think. No. It was definitely a filler. But Fantastic Four, I think, is actually... It actually is by Matt Fraction, and it seems to tie into the ongoing Fantastic Four story, which is a little bit weird. It's written by Matt Fraction, as I said, with art by someone called Andre Arojo, which I hadn't ever heard of before, but his art is really, really nice. It's like this weird combination of Katsuhiro Otomo, I think, whoever did Akira, and a few other artists. There's a little bit of I want to say Seth Fisher, but I'm not entirely sure that's the right person, who was an artist who did Vertigo Pop Tokyo a few years ago. It's just really, really weird, really sort of fine-lined style. It does... The upshot of the story is that the Fantastic Four get a message on a phone which appears to be like the mobile phones that Doctor Who now apparently gives all of his assistants, where they can call him anywhere in time and space, which is frankly one of the wankest one of the wankest little MacGuffins in history. But
it's 5G network that carries on.
And it pulls the adults, the main Fantastic Four people, back from their mission around in the far-flung reaches of time and space, back to Earth, just because the Age of Ultron is happening. The subtitle of this issue is The Death of the Family Richards During the Bloody Age of Ultron, or Everything's Going to Be Okay. From the title, you can kind of tell that... From the subtitle, The Death of the Family Richards... you can tell that probably get a rough idea of how this story finishes. It's really weird. It's a really weird issue. And I'm kind of hoping that whatever happens in this issue pays off in the next issue of this rather than in Age of Ultron. Because if they manage to make it relevant to this series, that's really impressive, because they do some really wild stuff in this issue. But if it's just basically... if they literally just ended up putting this filler issue, which drags them from their mission to the point where they don't just go back and help the F... You know, if they could have done that at any point, why didn't they come back when they were supposed to, as far as the FF thing is concerned? Why didn't FF have a month where it was an Age of Ultron month this month? Etc, etc. There are a lot of... I have a lot of problems. A lot of questions. The issue, because it's written by Matt Fraction, because it kind of ties into the emotional truths of the fact that they're leaving Val and Franklin on the other side of space. We get a couple of good scenes with Val and Franklin. And it kind of ties in with everything else that's been going on. I don't mind too much, but if it doesn't pay off, it's going to have been a really annoying little segue.
Which is the gamble I took and why I didn't buy it.
Yeah. I don't think that's going to be as big a problem as maybe it could have been that you didn't buy it. But I'm pretty annoyed that there's a Superior Spider-Man like shaped hole in my collection now. There's an issue 6 or whatever hole in that Superior Spider-Man run, which seems to have just been kind of on a whim. I've read the first two issues of Age of Ultron. It was really good. Seemed to me pretty clear that the Spider-Man in that wasn't Dr. Octopus in Peter Parker's body. It sounded like Peter Parker. And when Dan Slott writes him, it's obvious that his speech patterns changed ever so slightly, and it didn't sound like him in Age of Ultron. Because obviously it wasn't him.
Yep.
Because it was written 2 years ago. So it's kind of... It was written before they decided that was going to happen. 2000 AD, Prog, 1825... I think we're going into... There are those few weeks where we were in the down period on 2000 AD. It's... I'm back on side with it completely. The second part of the Judge Dredd story was gorgeous. Michael Carroll, Inaki Miranda. It all finishes quite quickly, but it's just a gorgeous looking story. And I think this was about getting the new Russian, the new Sovbloc judge into the universe.
Yeah, I was happy enough with it as a story that serves a purpose.
Dandridge is never going to be one of my favourites, but I am quite enjoying it. It's a bit ridiculous and a bit fun, but of that sort of strip, it flows a bit more nicely and is written a bit more in my wheelhouse than a lot of similar stories.
I found it offensive as a fat.
Did you, as a fat person, you didn't like? Yeah. Okay, fair enough.
I think it's fattest.
Quite enjoying. I've always found the Police Brothers art a little rough, but I really enjoy it coloured here. It looks really slick and nice. I like it. I'm really enjoying the Thugs 3 Riller, the Survival Geeks by Gordon Rennie and Emma Beebe, and with art by Neil Googe and colours by Gary Caldwell. It's really pretty, but it's also really silly, and I get the feeling there's slightly more going on in this story than previously I had thought. I should be a bit offended by how broadly the geek characters are written, but, you know, fuck it, life's too short. Stickleback's making a bit more sense, but it is a little bit weird. It's gorgeous. It looks amazing. Art by Disraeli's gorgeous. Script by Ian Edgington is really nice, but it seems to have completely changed the universe in which Stickleback exists. In that the version of London he's in is no longer this Victorian version, it's this really weird...
Steampunk London.
Yeah, but I mean, even more so than it was before. It's very strange, but it's so pretty.
Delightfully creepy.
Yeah. And Zombo's weird because it's the intro. I think it's kind of setting the socio-political scene of the story. But Henry Flint's art looks really nice coloured.
Looks
it's
a lot
cool.
tighter than it has.
Yeah. It's kind of pretty. And the Shadow President... is, I don't know, he's the leader of the opposition party, I guess, in America, but maybe in the UK, I don't know. But he's, you know, he's evil, but it's kind of funny the way he's evil. There's a falcon that just appears out of nowhere, which is evil. It's just,
always
it's,
happens.
It's just
always.
Brilliant. It's really, really good. And it, I don't know. But Zombo isn't in it yet. He kind of is kind of in the background, but kind of isn't in it yet. Really nice Zombo cover on there as well, although he's got a big red blotch on his in his cockle region. Junk. Has he always had that there?
No, I don't think so.
It's hard to say. I don't know. I'm enjoying 2000E. It's always good value, but at the moment it's lovely. Oh, and a colleague of mine was having trouble finding last week's issue. I don't know if he's found it yet, but thank you very much to all the people who got in touch on Twitter to help me make suggestions to him to where he could get it. Apparently Forbidden Planet sold out, James. You look completely shot out.
What?
Yeah, had you gone to sleep? So that's my comics. That's our comics. That's the comic section where we talk about comics.
Oh, I love them, though. They're great.
I actually had a couple more things. Sorry, I forgot. I'm going to post the link to this in the show notes, but I read a lovely 15-page sort of vignette comic by Sloane Leong called The Softest Shadow. It's kind of just a weird little vignette about... It's kind of a bit fantasy and a bit odd, and it's... you can pay what you like. It's digital. You can pay what you like. You get a download of... you get a CBR file and a PDF. I paid £1. You get it for a minimum of £1 in black and white, or a minimum of... I think that it's actually $1, or a minimum of $2 for the colour version, but I quite liked it in black and white anyway, so I picked it up in that. Definitely worth having a look. If you want to pay more than $1, you can. It was 15 pages, though, so it scans really nicely as a vignette, and I will post the link to that in the show notes.
Good.
Worth a try.
Yeah, why not?
For $1, yeah. Might as well, eh? Might as well take a punt.
In for a penny, in for a pound.
Literally a pound or
in,
a dollar.
In for a penny, in for 69p.
70, yeah. Whatever. Interestingly, because I was purchasing stuff like that, and I purchased that, and then I tried to purchase something else on the same site, and my card stopped working for 2 days because my bank thought that there were fraudulent purchases going through on it. So there was that. Oh, also, should we do the awkward middle bit?
Yeah.
We should, yeah.
Awkward middle bit. Has anything happened in comics this week?
No. Can I do a self-referential thing?
Yeah.
May the 4th. We should probably start talking about that now.
What's happening on May the 4th?
We're going to be at Southampton Forbidden Planet all day for Free Comic Book Day. Hopefully if I get my thumb out my backside...
Your vagina.
...and send an email to David and Mike, Georgiou, confirming accommodation details, which I've sorted out. I just need to tell them I've sorted it out. Probably shouldn't use the podcast as a medium to do that, though. Hopefully Dave Wynn and Mike Giorgio are going to be there as well, doing commissions.
Yeah.
We'll be there all day giving our thoughts on the three comic books and doing a live pod as and when. It'll probably be a ramshackled ad hoc affair. Wasn't really.
Also, we're not doing it like we did last time where it was really tight.
You know, you've got a very different memory of Free Comic Book Day last time we recorded an FP. But it wasn't us doing a show, it's us recording as and when and reading books throughout the day. So it's a sort of, if you listen to that episode, it was very much as and when we'd read stuff, we'd sit down and talk to it and talk to some people during the day. Probably be like that again, I imagine, this year.
Yeah.
Only there'd be two talented and handsome men doing commissions as well.
I'm not doing any commissions.
Yeah, no, well, you'll be a third handsome and talented man, but two out of the many handsome and talented men that will be present that day will be doing commissions on the day, and that
will
be David.
And Hanson will be there.
Mike Hanson will be there playing live.
Mbop, that's right. Them, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was.
Vanilla
them.
Ice make an appearance. At some Yay! Point,
I like him, he did Informer.
Yeah, hopefully no more of the Beastie Boys will die the day before.
Oh, God, that was last time, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah, we can't... Yeah, I'm hoping that isn't a trend.
Yeah, me too.
Yes, that's a good idea.
We should go to Burger King for lunch again, though. That was awesome last year.
I have noticed that David and Michael talking about that, and I honestly thought I got so mangled up that I wondered if we were doing another 24-hour comic.
No, but I think they're planning a 24-hour comic, but this is different from the
24-hour comic. Oh, good. Okay, I got very confused. I did not know what was going on. No. It's very exciting. I'm assuming you've got it in hand, James.
No, it's just the way I'm sat. I think I have. I owe people two emails, although one of the people I owe an email I'll probably see tomorrow night. So.
Yeah, so you can talk to them in person.
Yeah, I could talk to them in the flesh.
Okay. Is there anything else?
About that? No, yes. But come along. And if you do come along, tell us you've come along.
I think we'll know when we won't. They'd be there.
I'm a lot more introvert than you are, I can assure you. So just come and say hello to us.
Yeah, but you'll be behind a table with a microphone taking up a whole chunk of that. Basically, there will be.
Don't come in for roleplay.
I was going to say that last time anyone who came in for roleplay kind of got tangled up in our bullshit a little bit, didn't they?
Yeah, a little bit. Yeah,
we should have audience participated the hell out of them.
Yeah.
I don't know. I feel like I had something to say about comics, but I can't remember.
Is that a 20-sided dice in your pocket, or are you just pleased to see it?
Did I make any more notes? No, nothing.
You can edit that out.
What, the bit where I was checking my thing for notes? Well, that was kind of a thing, like you earlier on with your phone call from 2010.
Text
from 2010. One thing I wanted to mention is that. At this exact moment in time, Amazon.co.uk has the latest hardcover collection of 100 Bullets, which I think is volume 4, for about £9.95, when the RRP is something like £33. I think it's a mistake. So if you were going to buy it anyway, now is a very good time to do it. And I'll put a link in the show notes. It's very helpful to us if you click links to Amazon from the show notes, because... we get a tiny little bit if you buy something from it. No one ever has. But I mean, it's useful to know that it's there.
Okay.
Jane, would you like to do... That was the shortest but most awkward. We've really compressed the awkward into...
Oh, hold on. Yeah. Rob Liefeld.
No!
Jane, would you like to do your spotlight book for us?
Yes. This week I'm going to talk about Rust. It's the first in four volumes. This one's Visitor in the Field is written by Royden Lepp. Have I pronounced that right?
I don't know. It sounds right. It's Royden quite Lepp. A straightforward surname, yeah. Isn't it? For us.
For me, I know. And it's written and drawn by him.
So he's a
drawfer.
Yes. It's such a gorgeous book. It's based in Midwest America. I think it must be the 1950s. They're... Dates aren't referenced in this, but they talk about the war. And from what you learn about the war and what you learn about afterwards, it feels like it's around about that era.
Iron Giant time. Is that when Iron Giant was set?
Yeah.
Which would probably tie into a bit about this. This is quite a minimalistic book in terms of story. Most of it is told through the panels, and the art is so gorgeous. So there's nothing is lost and everything is gained with this. the book starts with the war, where the there's a person frantically running around turning people over, and eventually he finds what he stops finding humans and actually finds weird kind of mechanical robots.
Oh.
Yeah, you see them briefly at the beginning, but he's specifically looking for them, taking something from them. It's some sort of power source for them, and he's grabbing them as he goes along, and he encounters live mechanical robot giant things that aren't the ones he's actually finding are dressed as soldiers. Yeah. So the ones he's finding are quite big ones, and he's having to fight them. It's all very unclear what's going on, but it's all quite terrifying because they're robots.
I'm surprised you made it that far in.
I know. I will talk a little bit about the person who gifted this to me. It was a Christmas present. Mm. And I think it might be their way of delicately helping me get over my fear of robots. Cause it's
or terrifying you more.
Well, I wasn't. I mean, the art's so beautiful. You just don't really... And they're so mechanical. There's nothing robotic about them.
Robots are mechanicals. Does she not know?
I know, but there isn't anything about the element that's a robot. They just look like a like they're made of Meccano, doesn't...
Oh, they look like a steam engine.
Pretty much, yeah. Yeah, they are sort of, yeah, steampunk kind of robots. And
what sort of robot do you know?
Or a cake machine or something.
Basically, it's not that horrible thing from RoboCop, which really petrified me, and they don't look like Daleks.
The Ed 209?
Twenty seconds to comply.
Is that where all this started? Ed 209.
Well, it contributed to Cybermen. I think are pretty much the reason I'm scared of robots.
They're shit robots.
Yeah, but I was a kid.
And they're cyborgs, technically speaking.
Yeah, I know they're still scary, but there was a combination of things that developed into a.
Ed 209 is pretty scary because he doesn't serve his purpose.
No, that's right. He malfunctions.
He malfunctions. Which
we'll all do in the end, and we'll all be dead.
Mm.
Well, we'll all be dead in the end anyway. I mean, that's,
I know, but I don't want a robot to kill me. So, anyway.
I don't think you get a choice.
I do. I get to choose a robot doesn't kill me.
Only in Switzerland. And even then, it's kind of a robot, isn't it?
Yeah. Oh, it is. It kind of injects into you. That's true.
So the soldier's still trying to find these power sources of the mechanical robots. He does... find something a bit unusual while he's searching.
More unusual than robot
this,
soldiers.
From what I've decided, this is the, by this point, you know, we're about 15 pages in, and I've decided this is just normal for this.
You're just accepting that there were robots in World War II. Yeah,
yeah, exactly. And yeah, it's some more unusual stuff happens, but it seems to be normal, and he's more fixated in something he's found that is not unnormal rather than what's going on around him.
Abnormal.
Abnormal. Sorry, thank you.
Unnormal works.
No,
it's
abnormal's
fine.
Right.
Okay.
Thank you. Then we are pushed into the present day, and we're on Taylor Farm, and we are following... Oh God, his name's completely off my head. We're following our main character as he is writing a letter to his father, and his father's been in the war, and he is trying to... His father's not there. He's trying to build one of these mechanical robots. It seems like after the war had finished, they were all kind of just left... So they're repurposing them and reprogramming them into doing other things. And in this case, they want, you know, he's telling his father about how, like, his brothers are growing up and they're going to go to school, so he needs help around the farm.
Yeah, yeah.
So they're going to, it's going to be a practical use. It's going to be made from
farm
it.
Farm droids.
Yes.
That's fair enough. We know about farm droids, don't we, James?
So he's got moisture evaporators.
I just want to say...
We
are... Sorry to interrupt, James. We are on episode 181... And we are still... I think this is a sign that we're good people. We are still... feel just as guilty and embarrassed and awkward when we can't remember a name of a character, even though it happens to one of us literally every show.
It was just in my head and then it went again. Oh, this is absolutely terrible. Anyway...
No, it's fine. I mean, you'd think we'd be used to the humiliation by now.
No.
Let's call it Jeff.
Jeff's a good name.
Roman.
Roman, is that
yes,
his name? Well, that's a better name than Jeff, yeah, to be fair.
So Roman is the main character who is writing a story to his father, telling about what's going on in the farm. He then talks about a new addition to the farm called Jet Jones. Jet crash-landed into the barn and into the field. Roman went to go and find out what was happening and couldn't quite understand what he was seeing, and there was an odd noise, and turned out Jet Jones actually had a jetpack. And had flown, hadn't fallen, hadn't been thrown, but he'd actually flown into the barn and crash landed into their farm, into the field, which what you see previously in the book from the war, there were jetpacks, there were people jetpacks.
Okay.
So, but at this point you realise that next generations probably didn't know much about the war, so they knew that there was the mechanical, you know, help during the war, but they didn't. They didn't seem to know everything that's going on.
So Jet Jones is a man, yeah?
Is a boy.
Is a person. Is a lad.
Yeah. Well, as far as you see, a boy. It's unusual because you think about when you hear stories about the war, people are more than happy. Not happy, but people always have stories about the war. So it's odd that he doesn't know very much about it at this point. Yeah. So that was quite an interesting marker.
Not interested. He probably was just like, everyone's always going on about the war.
But he's telling his father about Jet Jones and how he joined the farm. So he crash-landed. He went to go and find out what was going on, and then a giant, great big robot was chasing after him. Did not want to know about Roman, but was after Jet Jones. So he didn't want to save Jet Jones because he thought somebody was going to get hurt, but he was so curious about the pack. He wanted more to find out about the pack. And also,
it's charming, isn't
and
it?
Also the giant robot that was chasing him, he sees him as spare parts. So yeah. It was odd how he ended up in the conflict, but he ended up rescuing Jet Jones from this robot. Which, again, there's not much dialogue in this book, so it is over so many panels. It's gorgeous, just the sequence of what they go through to stop it and how they've actually first met. But Jet Jones feels that he owes them, so he has stuck around, and he is unsurprisingly a whiz with anything mechanical and is fixing things around the farm for them, so he's actually kind of almost become the help that he needed, but not quite. Meanwhile, you learn more about Roman's family. He has a younger brother and a younger sister, and that you see sort of a toddler, but that isn't in the story so much, and his mum. His mum's a bit of a nag, saying, you know, she wants him to do things around the house, but not understanding that he needs to do things around the farm as well. Yeah. And building this robot for the help will mean that he can help her more around the house. So you get a glimpse of what family life's like, and you still don't know where his father is. Yeah. It does reference he was in a war, but you don't know where he could be at the moment.
Mums.
Yeah.
Yeah, mums.
Meanwhile, you're learning more about Jet Jones, and he is not perhaps as human as you first thought he was.
Is he a little bit robot-y?
He might be a little bit robot-y.
Everyone's a little bit robot-y.
Yeah.
And again, scenes from the beginning where you are following the soldier to collecting things from the robots, you see something that was collected there, and you see Jet Jones collect something from the robot that had that they defeated to use as a power source. So it's really interesting to find out a bit more about him. There's not much told about him in this volume, but I get the feeling that you are going to learn more as the story goes on. You do learn a bit more about one of Roman's friends or a fellow farmer whose youngest granddaughter has come to dinner with Roman and his family, and he takes her home, and he's talking to the grandfather about the war, because obviously Jet Jones has spoken a little bit about the war and perhaps suggested he was there at the time, but that's completely crazy because he's just a kid.
Yeah.
And he's very cagey. He said there's a lot of things he saw a lot of things, but there's a lot of things he can't talk about. So it feels like there was a lot of this stuff was not to be seen by other people, perhaps experimental weaponry for them to fight the war. But he also talks about how less and less humans are being sent to the front lines and more being replaced by robots to fight in the war as well. It's an utterly gorgeous book. It
looks really nice.
It's all in sort of a tea-stained colouring.
Yeah, sort of sepia, isn't
it? Yeah, so of the time, you're thinking of an olden-day story, so you always get the vibe that someone else is telling the story. It's someone else's memory of what's happened.
Do you get the feeling the author's fulfilling some sort of childhood fantasies? Because it says there that he was brought up on a farm in Canada.
And there was the author's actually a games animator as well. So there's that kind of fantasy with real life element to it, which you quite often find in games, which is brilliant. Yeah, you've totally nailed it, James. Such a good book. Really enjoyed it. It was a Christmas present from our friend over at 365. Which finished a couple of weeks ago, didn't it? He achieved his blog
he
a day.
He did it.
Yeah, for 365
pretty
days.
Pretty impressive.
It's a Christmas present. And I'm wondering if perhaps this is a push to help me get over my fear of robots, because it's such a gorgeous book. How could you be scared of them?
It is gorgeous.
They are a bit scary in the book, but not as usually terrified as I am about them. There are three other books, so I'm going to seek them out. It's a really great Christmas present. It's a really gorgeous little hardcover as well.
Yeah, it's nice.
Very nice.
It is really nice. It seems like the fight's not over yet, so it'd be really cool to see what happens next, but it's a gorgeous book.
Yeah, do you know if the other books are... How recent is it? Are the other books
out? This is 2011. So when I searched for the other books, I could find the second one, but I couldn't find the other three, but I was reading up on it, and there was intention for four, so the other two probably on their way if they're not out already. But yeah, it was published in 2011 by Arkea.
Yeah, I know who Arkea are. I don't think I've read much by them at all,
but yes. I'm reading the back matter very briefly. It just says a devastating world war. Doesn't specify if it was any of the ones that we have had in our reality.
Are there any references to it being
than the uniform? That's the only thing I referenced for it to be Second World War was the uniform, but it doesn't actually specify, and I guess the era, which again it's all down to how aesthetically it looks.
It's evocative of.
Yes, that's right, yeah. It's going to be a real interest to see what happens next.
That's awesome. It does. It's really nice.
It is really nice.
Although one thing that I have noticed as I've been struggling to get my shelves all sorted, as all of the books have come off and then they've gone back on, is yet another book that's in a completely different size format from anything else you've got, which is kind of frustrating to me because I'm a bit OCD about where stuff goes on there.
Height-wise is not so bad because you can sort that out. So when they stick out over the shelf,
annoying.
Oh, why'd you do that?
My Calvin and Hobbes collection makes me feel anxious about that. Like, where it sticks out over the shelf. Is that going to make it tempting to the dogs one day when we're not here?
No.
Yes, thank you for that, Jane. Did you have anything else to say about Rust?
It's a good, healthy beginning to what's going to be hopefully a very enjoyable story. Mm.
We'll keep an eye out, and if you stick them on your an Amazon wish list, then it'll be something good for us to buy you on your birthday, which is coming up.
Yup, yup.
I don't know what she means.
In July.
Yep, yep, yep.
Yup, yup, yup.
Which will come quick enough, James.
Yeah, you're not the first person to suggest that I do that.
Whack,
whack. Oh my goodness, that is so cheap. I think that's the death knell to any sensible conversation about comics.
My grandma was called Nell, and she is dead.
Oh, well then.
Trigger warning.
She truly is the dead Nell.
We could call her death Nell, couldn't we?
Yeah, yeah. Did she also have piss poor hearing?
She really did.
Yeah, there you go.
She had hearing aid. Her hearing was fucking appalling.
Did anyone say this when you heard she was dead? Did anyone say that's the death Nell for poor old deaf Nell?
No, at the time I cried.
Dead deaf Nell. You did?
Just, yeah.
How strongly do you feel about it now? Because now I feel like what I just said might have been a bit off colour.
Well, it's 12 years of distance between me and the event, so...
Oh, that's okay then, all fine.
I've learned to cope with it.
Okay, good.
She had a good life.
Did she?
Yeah, definitely.
Did she know Felicity Kendall?
Flick.
Oh, every single time.
Oh, dear.
What are you doing this week, Jane?
Tomorrow I'm going to be baking lots of goodies and then going round to James's in the evening to watch films and eat goodies.
My favourite one is Tim Brooke Taylor.
Mine was always Bill Oddie.
Really?
Yeah.
See, I like him, but he seems a bit angry to me these days.
Yeah, but I can see me maturing into that kind of man.
He wrote Funky Gibbon.
Yes,
though.
He
wrote all of their songs. He wanted to be a pop star.
Yeah. I like him. Maybe that's why he's angry.
I think the first few... Graham Greene is an author I really, really enjoy, and I suspect that the first few Graham Greene books I secretly thought he was Graham Carter.
I used to cook regularly for his wife. We've had this conversation on the podcast
Graham
before.
Greene, the author?
Mrs. Graham Greene, a very, very fussy customer, but I've cooked for her on many occasions.
Ah. Sorry, Jane, so you're going to be goodies, you're going to be cooking goodies?
Yes. Baking lots of Easter goodies.
You'll be eating food from a man who's catered for Mrs. Graham Greene.
That's good. You'll be eating some cupcakes I made previously that day.
In the shape of Graham Garden.
A brownie that might kill you.
That's like the start of a really either terrifying or utterly mundane horror movie.
It won't be through
about brownies coming round to your house, no, but they kill
just,
you.
It's so good, you might just die.
Maybe.
Maybe.
We'll see, that's something to look forward to.
If it's that good, I'll die. And yeah, various Easter things, having to go see people and do stuff. I think I'm chopping down a tree this weekend, so that's going to be scary. But
nice. You come around mine, you're not.
No, I know. But I hope I'm going to do it with more than a junior hacksaw. That's all I hope.
Well, I have a tree felling. I have a bandsaw, so if you need a...
Oh, no, I think we've got a saw.
All right.
I'll just find it. If I can't, then I can't cut the tree down, okay, James, remember?
Yeah, that's true. I mean...
And that's it. I'm going to see if my cat will hide in drawers, and that's it.
Well, I'm going to be doing the same thing as Jane for a little bit of time on Friday evening.
You're going to be cooking the goodies.
And then I'm off for a week now.
Where?
So we were going to go away, but because of Mump Child, we're going to have to stay at home. So, but God, she
damn,
has,
God damn the mumps.
She man. Has got her emergency pirate, so we could leave her with that. I felt this weird sense of guilt you get when your kid's not well and there's nothing you can do for them. So I went into Laura Ashley. They sell a really cute, cuddly pirate. So I bought her an emergency pirate yesterday. So
okay.
Be chilling out with Scarlett, an emergency pirate, I imagine.
That's good. She likes a pirate.
But I won't be on the podcast next Thursday because it's my wife's birthday.
Okay. I've got next week off as well, but I'm not doing anything nearly as exciting as that. I think I'm going to be painting this room. I think that's it, really.
That is quite exciting.
Well, I suppose it is, and I have to sort through stuff. I'm under orders to put the last few of my comics through the comic book database. I'm on V, so I'm obviously not that far, but there's still X. X is a big deal in comic
circles. X is going to wet you up.
Yeah, it's a big deal in comic circles, so I've got a lot of X's to get through. And of course, at the moment, there are books piled up on all of the stuff I need to be putting into the comic book database anyway, because all of the shelves are down. All of the shelves. I'm going to miss this room.
Yeah, me too.
And I don't think we have a clue what we're going to do about recording.
To be fair, a baby is forced to stay out of one room into another. We'll find another room.
Yeah, we'll sort something out. I don't know. But I don't know, there's that, and I guess I'll be spending the week with my wife, so that'll be awesome. We quite like each other, so that's okay. The other than that, it's Easter weekend, that's very exciting.
I can eat chocolate again.
Yeah.
I've been off it.
Why? Lent?
No, you haven't.
Well, no, I ate one the other day because I had one forced in my
hand. Yeah, but you've been eating the chocolate pan au chocolat.
Who's had chocolate in, James? It's in the name, pan au chocolat.
Not for a while, I haven't. Certainly haven't had any chocolate bars for a little while. I've been quite good with that.
Okay.
But apparently Jane thinks I'm kidding myself on, so...
Well, I mean, she'd know.
When did you start? Because I
don't remember.
Oh, right, okay.
It was a while ago. I haven't... I mean, Nicola forced one on me the other day when you were around, but that's kind of the only
Why
one I've had
for a while.
Why did
she force one on you?
We've had pan au chocolat recently, because we had a discussion about
I haven't... Well, pan au chocolat I've had. I mean, chocolate bars.
Oh, right.
Not pan au chocolat.
I thought it was chocolate.
Well, yeah, but when I say chocolate, I mean chocolate bars.
Why did Nicola force a chocolate bar on you? Does she want you dead?
There are times I think that might be right. Yeah, possibly.
Jane is... crying now, laughing. I don't know because Nicola have
been planning it for a while, and Jane's very excited about the cut of my insurance money she's going to get.
Can I just I clarify, because I think we did talk about your health before you were going to have your tests. No, because we did talk about it before you were going to have your tests, but we haven't talked about it this week. You're okay, aren't you?
I haven't had the result of the wee wee test, and right. I've got an appointment to see the consultant. I have to have a 24-hour blood pressure monitor.
Oh.
Put on me.
I was
hoping so we'd have good news for the listener.
We're still no closer to finding out why my blood pressure is so high.
I can't imagine why your blood pressure would be so high. With such supportive friends and family as you've got.
You're going to euphemistically say it's
I'm not going to euphemise you.
Don't. It's not, it may not be my lifestyle, Nick. The doctor thinks it's unlikely. And actually, all of the health lifestyle... related illnesses I could have, amazingly, I don't have them.
I don't understand what is with doctors at the moment, because the last doctor I saw, I went in and said I wasn't feeling very well, and I said, okay, admittedly, I have put on a bit of weight over Christmas. And he said, no, you just enjoyed Christmas, you're fine. He said, looking at you, you seem fine. Mm. I know I'm overweight. But he's just enabled me, basically. Now I'm thinking, oh, okay, so not a problem at all.
Doctors just aren't as neurotic as we are.
I'm sure doctors have been quite happy to tell me that I was fat before.
Well, nasty doctor.
Yeah, okay, I'm sorry I brought it
up. I'll be sure to update you when I do find out, but it sounds like this is going to be a long and winding road.
Oh, okay, well, that's good. I can live with some Beatles references. Should we say thank you? Should we say thank you to everyone?
Thank you.
Thank you, listener. You're all awesome, all of you, all listener
yes,
of
thank
you.
You.
Yeah.
And thank you, Jane. Thank you, James. Thank you, me, I suppose, but not so much that, because that's a bit
thank
weird
you
and self-congratulatory.
Yeah.
Does the Easter
Bring
Bunny really exist?
Eggs.
Yes.
Which religion is the Easter Bunny?
He is Greek Orthodox.
Oh, okay, good.
So I'm surprised you didn't know that.
One of my people. I'm surprised I didn't know that. We tend to celebrate Easter with eggs. Eggs don't really come out of bunnies, do they?
Yeah.
Bunnies
worship chickens and eggs come from chickens.
Bunnies.
They are the religion of chick.
Oh, okay. We don't need to get snarled up in the whole religious thing, though. Happy Easter, everyone. And we look forward to seeing you in one way or another next week.
Bye-bye.
My child Nick Jr. because of Nickelodeon, but you know what I mean. Like, and now it's like, oh no, we've got to come up with something original that no one else has come up with a name for.
Oh,
why?
Thank you for
why do we have
mate.
To do that?
In the name of love,
pour your sugar on me.
Hello, baby.
That's unusable. Look.
Good.
We were too loud.
Yeah, I'm hot, sticky, sweet.
From my
head
down
to
my
feet.
Yeah. I thought it was from my thighs.
No, I
down
think it's from
my thighs are sticky, sweet.
That makes sense. From your vagina juice.
I don't have a vagina.